book of Jude. And Jude precedes Revelation. Why? That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Thessalonians says that the day of Christ shall not come except there be a falling away first. And Jude is about that falling away. Now, I would say this to you. If you're not aware of that, there's something wrong. Because if you're not aware of that, you are not. And I say this respectfully. Now, I'm not trying to offend anyone. When I say you, I mean us, we, all of us together in the same thing. But if we're not aware of that, then we are not. And I make no apologies for saying this. We are not contending, earnestly contending for the faith. Because if we're contending for the faith, that means that we're in the Word. And if we're in the Word, our spiritual eyes are open. And if our spiritual eyes are open, we're aware of what's going on. Now, if we're not, then we're not aware. But I would remind everyone that God says that He's coming for those that are looking for Him. And if you're not in the Word, you're not looking. You can say it any way you want to. You're just not looking. The Bible says also that He's coming to those that love His appearing. Well, if you're not in His Word that He left for us, how can you say you love it? You're loving it. You desire, is the idea there, is coming. Wasn't that what John said? John saw it all in Revelation. Boy, I mean, he saw the good and the bad and the ugly. And what was his last words? Even so. Even though I see it all, even though I know that all these people are going to die and all this judgment's going to be given out, and the earth is going to be destroyed. He saw it. He didn't read it. He saw it. And his words were, even so, come Lord Jesus. He was looking. He was loving. He was longing for Christ. And that's our hope. Look, he says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. If we don't have that hope, if we don't have that assurance that when Christ comes, there'll be no more Ukrainians. There won't be children laying over there with their arms and legs blown off. There won't be a father standing over his 16-year-old son just bawling because the sheet's over his head. I told someone, I've never been more ashamed of my country. I don't know how we stand by and let that happen. You say, well, Tom, that's Ukraine. No, those are human beings. Those are human beings. What happened? What happened to the beacon? The United States was the beacon of the world. What happened? I mean, simply because some maniac says, I'll push the nuclear buttons. All of a sudden, we cower in a corner. We won't even stand up. But you say, Tom, that's politics. No, that's being aware. The United States is declining, folks. You won't find them in there. You can look till you're blue in the face. You won't find them in there. But you'll find Russia. You'll find China. You'll find Iran. You'll find Israel. You'll find Iraq. You'll find all those. But you won't find us. Because we're not going to be mattering. I mean, it's no coincidence that China and Russia all of a sudden are buddies. Come on now. I can show you where it says there's a 200 million man army coming out of the east. I can show you where it says Russia's coming down from the north. Who do you think's in Moscow right now talking with Russia? Israel. Israel. Why? Because Russia's over there trying to negotiate with the United States on Iran. A nuclear. I mean, we're over there negotiating with that bunch of thugs that you couldn't believe if they swore on a stack of Bibles. And I'll tell you what really got me. I'm wound up now. It's okay. I'm going to get on Jude here in a minute. He has the audacity, this maniac. I call him maniac. I wouldn't care. He is. He had. I can judge him in a dead second. But you see, the thing, I'm not trying to get you to see politics. I'm trying to get you to see that this thing is coming down. The great falling away is here. And if we don't see that, we're not seeing correctly. We're not seeing spiritually. Now, I know that what I'm going to say today is somewhat repetitious from what I've been saying. I get that. But the reason I teach the way I teach, the way I study is the way I study. I just get on something and I read it every day. I don't stop. I just keep reading. And you know, even I wake up in the middle of the night and I try to quote what I've been reading. Because I don't want you to just say, well, Tom taught the book of Jude. I want you to be able to tell somebody. Not verbatim. I want you to tell somebody what the book of Jude is about. With feeling, with passion, with compassion. And so we began. Now, how does Jude start out? He says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified. We reversed it. But in the Bible, it says, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and are preserved in Jesus Christ and are called. Now, what I did was I took the Greek and reversed it because that's what the Greek would do. And it was written in Greek. So that's why we did that. That's why we started there. And then the next thing says, grace to you. Peace and love be multiplied. That was the blessing. He says, I was going to write to you of the common salvation. Everyone likes to hear about being saved, don't you? Everyone, listen, we all like to talk about being saved, that's great. And I hope everybody in here can talk about being saved. That's wonderful. But do you remember Nehemiah? Nehemiah held something in each hand. Nehemiah held a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. It's wonderful to talk about salvation. But we got to be able to defend too. Because our salvation is based on the Word of God. That's where our faith stands. That's where our faith dwells, in the Word of God. So we must be able to fight for it, be willing to fight for it. If it offends someone, it offends someone, but we got to fight for it. We can never move away from it. We can't ever be tolerant of anything else. We can't say, well, there's, you know, like Oprah, I think Jean mentioned that she said, well, I think there's more than one way back to God. Well, you know what I would say to her? I'd say, God gives you that right to think that, honey. But you'll have to die with it. And then you have to answer for it. Now, with what you just said, when it don't work out, what's going to happen? But see, that's part of the apostasy. When we come to the point to where we, and it sounds good and we don't want to offend anybody, so we say, well, yeah, I guess there is more than one way. No, there's not a Christian way. There's not a Judaism way. There's not a Hindu way. There's not a, what's another one? There's not a Islam way. There's one way. I don't care who you are, where you are, what you do. There's one way. And that's what we have to, listen, we have to stand on it. Otherwise, we're a part of it. So he says, I wonder out to you of the common salvation, but it was needful. Look, I said what I said earlier to let you understand. We're in that needful time, folks. We're in that necessary time. It's needful, he said, that I write unto you and exhort you, encourage you. That's what I try to do every Sunday. Encourage you that you should not just contend, earnestly contend. Now, I gave you the Greek word there. Does anyone remember it? Starts with an A. Argon. Now, what word do we get from that? What English word do we get from that?
What word did you say, Tom?
Argon. A-R-G-O-N. Argon. We get our word agony. If you know, raise your hand if you know what agonize means. To agonize over something. To be sort of stressed out over it. To earnestly seek it. That's what Paul meant when he said, I have fought the good fight. I've agonized over it. So he says to earnestly contend for the once for all delivered to the saints' faith. There's nothing to add to that. That's why he says don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Now, we would say that to take away from it means that we would go in there and tear out a page. Or we would go in there and change the wording. No. To take away from it means that you want to change what it says to fit what you want it to say. Or to add to it means that you're going to add an idea into it that's not there, that will fit what your lifestyle, that'll fit what you want to believe. But Jude says, don't do that. Fight for it. Just like it is. It doesn't need anything else. It's what saved you. It doesn't need changing. It saved you. You know what else it does? It keeps you. Why would you add to something? Why would you take away something that keeps you? And it not only keeps you, one day it will raise you. You say, well, I thought that was the Holy Spirit. Well, if you can separate that from the Holy Spirit, you tell me how. Because that's the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Holy Spirit's God, and Jesus is God. So I reckon he says the same power that raised Jesus from dead. What was it that raised Jesus from the dead? What raised him? Huh? Well, did he not say this? I have power to lay it down. I have power to raise it. What would we say there? We would say that's his word. He gave his word that he had power to let. Therefore, that's what raised him was his word. He's never going back on his word. So when he says that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same thing that's going to raise you from the dead, you're holding it. You're holding it. And that's what he says to contend for. I'm not getting away from it. I can tell you that. I don't know about anybody else. I'm not getting away from it. If I'm down to two people in this church house, I'm not getting away from it. I'm not wanting somebody up there that can fill this place out with silvery words. I got to tell you this. I was talking to a guy just Friday. I was talking to a guy Friday. And he said, I've been to this church. I've been to this church. I even went over to this church. They interviewed me for 2 hours to see what I believed. He says, I guess I'm just a loose cannon. He says, I went to church down in Jonesboro. It's a friend of mine. He said, I go out to lunch with him. Come. But you can't teach. There's something wrong. There's something wrong there. And after I talked with him a while, I sort of understood. I said, you are a loose cannon. But he contends for the word. He contends for the word. Maybe a little overboard, but he's contending for the word. Now, that being said, look at Hebrews. Hebrews. Now, everyone knows that Hebrews is about what? Apostasy. It's another book about apostasy. And Hebrews is mostly about the Jewish people. You remember, I gave you the last week the demarcation line. You remember me saying that? And now the Jewish people are up to the demarcation line. Now, what is the demarcation line? Okay, it's Judaism. What's on the other side of Judaism? That, but what's the other side? What's on the other side of Judaism? What you said, grace, which is Christ, because Christ fulfills the law. And see, and what they're doing is they're up there now. They've got to decide whether they're going to stay at the ceremonial law. Remember, I read to you the verse that said it's a shadow of things to come. Remember that, and they're up there now. And he says, now look. You need to come on over. Now, I'm going to read it to you here in just a second, and you'll see what I'm talking about. He's saying you need to come on over to Christ. Leave that behind you because that's no longer in effect. That's the first covenant. I've done away with that, he said. He's done away with that he might bring in the second, he says. So you got to step over. You got to come over to Christ. So in Hebrews chapter 10, he's talking about that. And he comes over, and you remember, what, anybody remember my favorite verse in the Bible? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. And remember I said, look, we need more, we need to come together more, not less. You know, this is just me. Don't run out and say, oh, Tom, you can't believe what he said. I don't understand. It's mind-boggling to me how people that are looking for Christ to return think that 2 hours on Sunday morning or 1 hour on Sunday morning is enough. I don't get that. I'm not condemning anyone. I'm not judging anyone. A person does what they do. But I don't understand it for this reason. He said, don't do that. That was the manner of some others. That's what they were doing. It's like a lot of churches today, folks. Don't you know, there's some churches now, they don't even have Sunday night or Wednesday night services. They have a service on Sunday morning. That's enough. When God said, no, don't do that. Because as the day approaches, what do you need? I mean, think about it. I'll go right here. Jessie, she's the only one who will talk to me sometimes. When you see all this turmoil, you hear last night of a tornado coming through Iowa and killed six people. When you hear this morning of a wildfire in Florida causing evacuations, you hear about a war in Ukraine. You hear about all this madness. What is it you need? Well, encouragement. Because you get discouraged. I mean, do you not? Does this not just drain you sometimes? I told you earlier, I've never been so disappointed in my country before. I'm 73. I've never been this disappointed. It's disheartening. I told my wife, we were sitting there watching something on the news, and I was crying. I said, honey, this is just not right. And you, when you get that way, you need encouragement. Now, I go to the book to get it. But God said, come here. This is my sisters. This is my brothers. When I'm down, they can say, Tom, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to be one of those on either side raising your arms up, son, and the battle will go well. That's what he's talking about. And as it gets worse, We need to be here more, because we're going to need each other more, not less, more. We're going to need to hear the Word of God more. We're going to need to sing the songs of Zion more. You say, Tom, it ain't got there yet. It's coming. It's coming. You can believe it or you not, it's coming. He wouldn't have put that in there. But then he goes on to say, in the next verse, he says, for if we sin willfully. Now, that word willfully there means voluntarily. Now, what does it mean to volunteer? Give me a paraphrase of volunteer.
Do something without being paid for it and do it willingly.
Well, let's simplify that with one word. Who said that? You make a choice. No one has paid you. No one has coerced you. You simply make a choice. He says, for if we sin voluntarily, after that we have received the knowledge, you are following me, aren't you? After that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth, you are following me, aren't you? Honey, we're in 27 or 28, I don't know. It's on the right column of my Bible. I'm seeing it. Thank you. There is no more sacrifice for? Okay, now, stop. Remember what I told you earlier. Here's the demarcation line, right? Okay, the people that are on this side, there's a line. The people that are on this side of the line, what are they using for their sacrifice of sin? Thank you. They're using animals. But he's already said, that's a shadow. Look, shadows can't help you. Remember I told you I lay $1 million out here and the sun's shining on it and you see a shadow of the $1 million. Now, which do you want to take to the bank? The $1 million or the shadow? And you would say, well, you'd be stupid to take the shadow. Well, you'd be stupid to stand there and depend on a shadow, too, to save you. He says, you've got to come on over. He says, but if you choose, if after I've told you the truth now, if you choose, if you volunteer to go on sinning the way you're, and depending on what ain't going to sacrifice for your sin now, you'll die lost. He says, and where I go, he says, except you repent, you shall die in your sins, and where I am, you cannot come. And that was Jesus said that, by the way. And when he says you can't come, bless God, you can't come. And so he says, if that's the case. Now, and then he comes down there in verse 29, I believe it is. If I'm wrong, that's okay. He says, for how much worse punishment. But now look at the verse just preceding that, and you'll get the reason why he said because or for. What does it say? Those that rejected the law of Moses. Now, it wasn't really the law of Moses. It was the law of God given through Moses, but they had got to where they worshiped Moses, folks. They said it was Moses' law, and Moses' law was going to save them. Well, Moses' law was where they were standing. Moses' law now is the shadow. And he says, but hey, if you broke the law of Moses, what happened? Well, that tells you, huh? Yeah, if you died under that. And then he says, without mercy. And then that verse comes. That's the case. How much sore punishment? How much worse punishment? Well, what's worse than being killed? You got that right. You got that right. I mean, it's one thing for you to turn around and blow his brains out. But God, Jesus said this, fear not him who can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. So he says, for how much sore punishment, how much worse punishment, suppose ye, he says, should he be thought worthy? Now, look, well, I'll use Les. He won't care. He won't care. Les works hard. Now, I'll say that to anybody in here. You don't know him. I do. He works hard at what he does, at his business. But each month, after he's worked hard, you know where he looks first? Huh? Well, let me ask you this. I'll just come over here since you laughed and turned around. You're not paying attention. You worked for years.
I did. Yeah.
And at the end of each week or every 2 weeks, whenever it was, what did you look for?
Make sure I got paid.
What you were worthy of. Because the Bible says a workman is worth his hire. Yep. In other words, he's looking for what he's worthy of. What the Lord is saying, of how much sore punishment should he be thought worthy? I'm going to pay you, he says. I'm going to pay you now. You worked hard at sinning. You chose to sin. You denied my mercy. You rejected my grace. You wouldn't have my love. You wouldn't have my salvation. He says, for how shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? Now, you wouldn't do it. Now, I'm going to pay you. He says, but think about it. How much sore punishment should he be thought worthy? And here's the three things you've done when you denied Christ. Should he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of God, who shed his precious blood for you. And you would just do this. You have to get the, look, you can't just read this. You have to see it in your eye. When a person rejects Christ, just stepping on him. Nothing more degrading than that, folks. Nothing more degrading. He says, well, how much punishment do you think I ought to give somebody that does that? That would trodden underfoot the Son of God and would count the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. When Peter says, for you are not saved by gold and silver, which is perishable, but by the precious blood of Christ. And you would count that an unholy thing. What do you think God's going to do to you? Or he says, or hath done despite unto the Spirit, capital S, of grace. It won't be funny, honey. No one's going to be laughing. No one's going to a party. I can't imagine. Well, I sort of can because I've been there, but not in the same way as those people in Ukraine. I can't imagine what it's like. Did anyone see that video of the guy? He's talking on the video, and all of a sudden the missile hits the building where he's talking, and it just comes down on him, and it's caught on video. I can't imagine what that's like. But that's a picnic to what God's going to do. The wrath of God to those who would apostatize from him. Look, if you will, I'm trying to do it in my mind here, so look, if you will, at 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, I believe it is, or maybe it's chapter 2. Everyone remembers what that chapter is about, don't you? It's about what we talked about earlier. You know, Paul is writing to them, and he's saying, well, yeah, the day of Christ is coming. And they were selling all their stuff, you know, and just getting ready to go. And he said, no. He says, no. He says, don't let anybody tell you that the day of Christ is here, for it's not here. Because it can't be here. Why? Because he says, first there must come this great falling away. And then he goes on after that, and he talks about, but when Christ does come, that the son of perdition, that man of sin, the wicked one, shall be revealed. But God's going to destroy him with the word of his mouth. And not only him, but he comes down there to the bottom of that page, and he says, not only to them that are ungodly and unrighteous, but to all them that loved not. That loved not. Are you reading it? What did they not love? The truth. That loved not the truth. He says, therefore, I'm going to send to them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie and be damned. What's the lie? What's the lie that they're going to believe? Well, they're not going to believe that Christ died for them. They're not going to believe that he rose for them. And they're not going to believe that he interceded for them. Therefore, God's just going to give them a lie. And the lie is going to be what the false son of perdition, the Antichrist and the false prophet, what they spew is what they're going to believe. And then they'll be damned with them. All you have to do is go to Revelation and you can see that where the Antichrist and the false prophet and all of his armies, they go out to go up against God. You'd have to believe a lie to think you can whip God. I mean, the truth is you can't. The lie is you can. And so here they go. And you know what happens? Huh? you're picking it up. But it says in the Bible this, and the Antichrist and the false prophet, or he calls him the beast and the false prophet were taken. I like to look at it like this. Here they are. Now, they, you know, they going up against God. God says, boys, go down there and snatch them old boys up. Right, look, you can read it for yourself. You get the Greek out and you'll see. Just takes them. And drops them. And you know what he does with his followers, honey? This is it. Read it for yourself. They're dead. You know, if God did this, anyone see where Russia used that bomb that's banned? That's one of them. But the other one is a hyper bomb. And what it does is it sucks all the oxygen. Well, what happens when you ain't got no oxygen? Well, first thing you're going to do is fall over. Because you can't stand up. You know, your head gets swimming and down you go. You know, down goes Frazier. But then you die. Well, if God were to do this, everybody's dead. You say, Tom, come on now. You couldn't prove that if you had to. Oh, I can. How did he make man? Well, that's sort of the truth, but what does it say? He breathed into him the breath of life. So that means that it come from God. God just went, and they got breath. So if God goes, they ain't got no breath. That's his sword, folks. He says that proceedeth out of his mouth. Look, I ain't making this up. Go read it. But the apostasy is that that ain't so. But it is so. Now, look, if you will, at, let me get in my mind here. Yeah, look, if you will, at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Y'all can come on in. Who is that? Dwayne, tell him I can come on in. I don't want him standing out there. Tell him come on in, whoever it is. They can come in. Come on in. I don't know, honey. I don't know. It starts on the left column, and it's about in the middle of the page, and it goes over to the next column. But it's about Simon. Simon the sorcerer. What happened was Philip went down to Samaria, and Samaria believed what Philip preached, the gospel. But while he was there, there was this guy named Simon. And what he did is he deceived the people with his sorcery. But when the people believed Philip and was baptized, it says, Simon believed also and was baptized. Where's that at?
You start at 9 and
it starts at 9. Start there and I'm telling it. Now, so then he starts following Philip and them around. But in the meantime, word went out to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the gospel. And they sent down two men, Peter and John, to do what? To lay hands on that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For they had not yet received the Holy Ghost, but had been baptized in Jesus' name only. And so here comes Peter and John, and they come down, and they begin to lay hands on people, and they could receive the Holy Ghost. Well, Simon, it says, sees this. And what did he do? The Bible says that he offered them money that they might bestow on him this gift, that to whomsoever he laid hands on, they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, if Simon, this is just my understanding, you can follow it how you want to. If Simon would offer money for the gift. Why did he want the gift? He wanted it for two reasons. To get back the power that he had when he was doing deceiving the people with sorcery, and to make money. The love of money is the root. Now let me tell you something. If you want to know where all this evil in the world is coming from, just follow the money. And God knew exactly what he's talking about. I mean, the sanctions, they didn't go after the poor people because the poor people aren't in control. The oligarchs and Putin, who have all the money. And by the way, if you want a socialistic country, that's what you'll end up with. You know, where they say we've got to share everything. Well, actually, they don't share everything. They hoard themselves, and then they'll just throw you out a crumb or two. But that's another thing. So he says, give me this gift. And he offers him money. And Peter said this, thy money perish. Wait a minute. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe would not
perish.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Simon believed and was baptized. Peter says, thy money perish with you. Now, here's a man full of the Holy Spirit, my friend. And he knows this man ain't right. Oh, he made a profession. He's wanting to look. Hey, I had a guy. I won't mention his name. There was this guy. He was in the same business I was. And what he would do is, instead of getting his own business, instead of him getting out here and working and trying to start his own business, he would go to different businesses and worm in with the owner. He would find out where the owner went to church, and he would go to that church, and he would worm in there and become friends and everything. And then he'd go to him and say, won't you let me have that business? All you need to do is send out an agent of record letter. That's how you get it. You say, Tom, how you know I got two agents of record letters? He's a thief. He was a thief. I tell him to his face. I've told a couple of them to their face. They're thieves. You ought to get out and work for your own. Don't steal somebody else. But Simon says, I'll give you money if you give me this. He says, thy money perish with you. He says, for thy heart is not right with God. Now, he's not talking to a Christian there that's done something wrong. He's talking to an apostate who has willfully, remember the verse? Who has voluntarily went on sinning after he knew the truth. He knew the truth because he sort of act like he's believing. Even to the point of where he got baptized. But the whole time it was to get something. Now remember, because I call it the Balaam syndrome, and that'll come back up later. So he says, thy money perish with you. Now the other thing I know that this is an apostate, here's what Simon said. Peter said to Simon, he says, you need to pray to God for forgiveness. Now you better understand what I'm about to say, otherwise you'll get really lost in the weeds. A Christian has forgiveness. A child of God already has forgiveness. They don't have to pray for it. When you're saved, you're forgiven. You're forgiven of your past sins. You're forgiven of your present sins. You're forgiven of your future sins. You're forgiven. Now that, Paul says, now that's not a license to go out and sin. You know, knowing that you're forgiven. If you can do that, you wasn't forgiven to start with. You're not God's. But he says, pray to God that this thy wickedness would be forgiven. What was Simon's answer? Boy, I know he's not right now. Peter was exactly right. Look, last sins. He comes to me and says, Tom, pray to God that he'll forgive me. I can't do that. I can't pray for your sins. I got to pray for mine. But Simon didn't know that. He didn't understand it. He said, you pray for me. Well, what's the next verse say about Simon? Read it carefully now. Read it real carefully. What's the next verse say about Simon? Read it carefully. Come on, somebody read it to me. Aren't you looking? That's now you got it. He's gone. He's done. You'll never hear another word about him. Why? Because when you equate to the Holy Spirit of God wickedness, you're done. Jesus said, any sin will be forgiven. If you sin against me, it'll be forgiven you. But whosoever sinneth against the Holy Spirit of God, it won't be forgiven here, and it won't be forgiven there. It's a serious thing to equate to the Holy Ghost of God wickedness. And that's what he did. And he wasn't forgiven. He'll never be forgiven. Judas Iscariot is another great example. He walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He was taught by Jesus. He walked with the disciples. He saw what they could do every day. Yet he willfully, he volunteered to go in there and say, I'll deliver him to you. How much
money
will you give me? And then when he tried to repent, he couldn't repent. It's serious. You say, Tom, who is an apostate? An apostate is someone who stands in this church, hears the gospel, knows the gospel, and voluntarily rejects it. You say, can they be forgiven? Yeah. If the Holy Spirit ever comes to them again, they can. But the trouble with apostasy is this. You never know when you've stepped over the line one too many times. You never know when you've rejected him for the last time. The thing to do is not even wait till the second time to receive it the first time. That's the seriousness of it. Because how much sore punishment should he be thought worthy of he who hath trodden underfoot? That's what you do when you reject him, the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith you were sanctified an unholy thing. Oh, to equate to God unholiness and to done respite or despite unto the Spirit of grace. What a serious, serious thing. See you next week, and I'll be in Jude, hopefully.